Hello, this is Dr. Annie Rohr working together with Cloudwell Health, Hawaii's first telemedicine practice. They make it really easy. From the comfort of your own home, you can speak with a Hawaii board certified doctor about your mental health or any health issue. Their doctors are kind, awesome, really smart. I'm proud to be a part of that team. I just want you to know that they accept all major insurances and there aren't any copay fees. Please visit cloudwellhealth.com for more information on how you can take care of your mental and physical health. Again, this is Dr. Annie Rohr, and I'm working together with Cloudwell for your mental wellness lesson. My purpose here is to help you be the best version of you. We work on the mind, the body, and the heart. These are short audio recordings with doable lessons and advice to help you create a happier life. So today's lesson, I've been thinking on what it is we need, and I keep thinking people need a little bit more happiness. Things have been hard. It's been a hard year. Life has been confusing. So I put together five habits to bring more happiness in your life, five doable happiness practices and tools that will bring happiness into your life. Okay? The idea is I want you to bring more joy and boost your happiness. These are research-driven concepts. People have studied them, and these simple tasks can make you feel more joy. I mean, why not try? So there are countless tasks and things that we can do to feel better. But you know what? Let's just do five. That way we don't get overwhelmed. So I've chosen what I do, what I think is fun, what would be enjoyable for you to learn about, and something that you could walk away with thinking, hey, I can do those things. I can do those things to make my life better. I can do those things to feel better. All right. So the first habit that I want you to start bringing into your life is gratitude. The idea of being grateful. Gratitude is the quality of being thankful, the readiness to show appreciation for and return kindness. It's the idea of shifting your focus on what you have. Willie Nelson said, "When I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around." The idea is, if you notice what you have and you express gratefulness for it, all of a sudden, you feel like you have what you need. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. So here's the thing. Gratitude, research shows, is one of the healthiest of all emotions. Here's another cool quote. The more you express gratitude for what you have, Zig Ziglar. Gratitude is the healthiest of all emotions. The more you express gratitude for what you have, the more likely you will have even more to express gratitude for. So again, that concept of seeing what we have and feeling grateful for it. Okay, now this is the simplest concept, and people think, yeah, what am I grateful for? But I want you to take it more seriously. If you just take a minute and think, okay, seriously, in this moment in time, what am I grateful for? What do I have? Can I look around? Do I have good friends? You know, sometimes it's simpler. Sometimes was a neighbor kind to me today? Do I have a roof over my head? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Keep looking for what you have. Search for what you're grateful for. Search for what you can thank people for. This simple practice once daily can change your life, can bring joy. Okay, so your activity for this habit is, I want you, after you write, you listen to this audio, I want you to write a thank you note. Just express a thank you to somebody. It can be a text. It can be an actual thank you note that we mail. Those are awesome. Then the second thing I want you to consider, you can do this in two ways. You can get a journal and start a gratefulness journal. You can put a note on your phone. But the idea is, once a day, I want you to write down something or more things that you're grateful for. Notice what you have. Notice what's out there. Sometimes it's simple, like, gosh, I'm grateful I saw a sunset today. Sometimes it's you're grateful that you have a partner, the laugh in your children. Sometimes it's simply, I'm grateful for having clothes on my back today. Whatever it may be, I want you to start looking for it. Okay, That's habit one. I'm keeping these short because I want them doable. All right, moving on to habit two. Now this one, a little bit harder. This is optimism. Okay, now here's the thing. Take a moment to think about some of the things that happened to you today. Even better, grab a pen and write down a few specific events. Just think for a second. Take a deep breath. What happened to me today? Now, what did you come up with? Was it mostly positive stuff? Like, hey, my day's been great. I had a delicious meal today. Had a great time chatting with my friends. I enjoyed the day. Or did your mind land on what went wrong? My cooked breakfast made me late. I missed the bus. I watched a boring show. Had too much screen time. I hate Mondays. Whatever it may be. This kind of gives you a sense of how you land. Are you somebody who thinks optimistically? Or are you somebody who leans towards pessimism? Or, you know, people like to say realism. I'm being honest here. I'm probably more pessimistic and realistic than I am optimistic. And this is something I work on every day. Research shows again and again that optimism is healthy for us, okay? Optimism is a trait that needs to become more common. Here's a Winston Churchill famous quote. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Optimism has been proven to improve the immune system, prevent chronic disease, and help people cope with unfortunate news. Researchers have spent so much time studying people who think positively, and it turns out those people that we tease, oh, the optimist, oh, she's too positive, turns out those people, they're happier, they're more successful, and they're healthier overall. Optimism can protect against depression, even for people who are at risk for it. An optimistic look or outlook makes people more resistant to stress, helps people live longer. Now, here's the thing. The best thing about it is you can learn it. Even if you're like me and your outlook turns out to be a little bit more pessimistic and you lean that way, it takes a little while, but we can practice it and we can learn it. Don't feel discouraged. Becoming more aware of the two styles, pessimism versus optimism, you know, just kind of being aware of what you're doing and how you think can actually just gradually help you notice more ways to be optimistic. Keep telling yourself, I can be more positive and I'm going to keep practicing. Don't give up. I know it seems frustrating or even a little silly, but this is worth it, okay? So some things that you can do to help improve your outlook, I want you to notice good things as they happen. So when something good happens, notice it. Take note of it. Run through your day like we did at the beginning and come up with things that, here it is again, that you're grateful for or good things that happened. Keep that journal. Train your mind to believe that good things can happen in your life. Get in the habit of telling yourself that you can succeed. If you try, you will do better. A really big one for people, try not to blame yourself when things go wrong. You know, hey, things didn't go as planned, but I'll be okay. Versus, you know, really beating yourself up. So try to think in a positive way and not blame yourself. Just go with the flow. Here's another way. Remind yourself setbacks are temporary. Really important here. I like to tell people this will pass. Whatever the hard moment is, it'll pass. It always does. Okay, so a few activities here. When you're feeling negative or stuck, you know what works? Recalling a positive or happy moment that happened to you in your life and talking about it or writing about it. Just think. That's all you have to do. Is in a hard time, all you have to do is think about something that was positive, and that helps you, and it brings your brain into a different space. Another thing I'd like you to try to do is practice positive self-talk daily. It's not easy, but try. And you know, sometimes you just make a joke about it. I do. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to be positive today, and I like overdo it, and hey, it works. After a while, I'm laughing, and isn't that the whole point? Even if I'm just making fun of myself, isn't that the whole point? Joy, happiness. All right. So I'll leave this habit with a quote by Marcus Aurelius. Dwell on the beauty of life. Watch the stars and see yourself running with them. Pretty cool, huh? Habit number 3, another tough one. Guess what? Happy people, people who do well, have self-compassion. Having compassion is so important in our life. It is what makes us human. It's what makes us caring and loving and builds friendships. We work so hard on expressing care and compassion to everyone. It's so easy to tell a friend like, hey, I get it. You're going to be okay. But guess what? Somehow we don't do that for ourselves. The hardest part is telling ourselves that we're going to be okay. The hardest part is to have compassion for ourselves. This is so important. We go around in life beating ourselves up. We can't do that. We've created a system in life that says it's not okay to make mistakes or mess up, or to be tired, or to have moods, or to be grouchy, or to have a tone with your partner. You know what? Sometimes we have bad days, but we've created this impossible goal to not mess up. And then when we do, we're mean. We're mean to ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We don't forgive ourselves. We self-punish. And we think about it again and again. And then we don't really learn anything from it except further self-hate and judgment. This is called the critical inner voice, and it's loud. And sometimes that voice is so much louder than the kind voice that we need. A study at Harvard Medical School says forgiving and nurturing yourself can set the stage for better health, relationships, and general well-being. Self-compassion yields so many benefits. It lowers anxiety and depression. Self-compassionate people recognize that they're hurting and they're kind to themselves, and it reduces anxiety and depression. Some people naturally have self-compassion. Others, like me, again, I'm honest, have to learn it. I personally sometimes prefer, you know, beating myself up, but I have to get better at not doing that. I have to model for my patients, my clients, my daughter, self-compassion. I have to teach myself that it's okay to mess up sometimes. And guess what? It's teachable. Here's what I want you to think about. Write a letter to yourself or a self mantra and read it when you need a little help. If a moment comes that's hard or that you messed up and you want to beat yourself up, just tell yourself something like, this is a tough moment. People have tough moments. It's okay. I'm okay. I'm doing my best. It's okay to have moments. It's okay for me to take a second to gather my thoughts. But you know what? I deserve kindness. And I deserve forgiveness in this moment. May I be patient and kind. So that's a long one. You can make a short one. You could simply just say, I'm okay. This was a tough moment. It'll pass. I personally have that on my phone in a note to remind myself. So take a moment and think of what your mantra could be, something that could help you. There is a self-compassion expert. Her name is Kristen Neff, and she has all kinds of things, books, information, on self-compassion, so I do recommend checking her out, okay? I am a mom of a toddler, so I've got to bring this up. Daniel Tiger cartoon has a jingle. I just love it, but it's so good for self-compassion. It says, give a squeeze nice and slow, take a deep breath and let it go. It's just this idea of taking care of yourself and being okay. And sometimes we're the ones who have to give ourselves a hug. We're the ones who have to say it's okay. Sometimes we're the only one who's there. Start noticing when you're being critical to yourself. Note the tone that you're talking to yourself in your mind or even out loud. Start challenging those thoughts. Talk back with compassion. Why don't you tell yourself like, hey, I know you're nervous or anxious. Maybe you're afraid of being hurt, whatever it may be. Can we just be kind to ourselves for a little while? Okay. Louise Hay says, I love her. Sorry, I'm a quote person. You have been criticizing yourself for years and it has not worked. Try approving of yourself and see what happens. Isn't that amazing? What happens if we actually give ourselves compassion? What happens if we give ourselves kindness? It's amazing. All right, moving on. the next habit. Savoring the good. This one's easy, and it's my favorite, and I love it. This is the big psychology research today. It's Dr. Lori Santos in Yale. She actually does a course on happiness, and you can check that out too. You can Google it, and savoring was one of the lessons she teaches. And basically the concept is too often we let the good moments pass without truly celebrating them. This is about taking the time to truly enjoy what is happening and notice how it truly makes you feel. Your body, your mind, your feelings, and holding on to the happy feelings and enjoying them. That's why it's called savoring. Savor the moment. Savor it, okay? So it can be past or present. So just here in this moment now, you can practice by simply thinking of something that happened to you in the past. Spend a few minutes thinking about a joyful, pleasant event that happened to you in the last week or month. Think about the people, the smells, the sounds, the physical sensations. Pay attention. Pay attention, and by doing this, you might experience something positive. Whenever you notice yourself feeling good, see what's happening in your body, your heart, your mind. Mentally hold on to it by thinking of the positive emotions and what caused them. So it can be something that happened in the past. Okay, now moving to the present, savoring something good. Try savoring something every day, okay? So it can be something so simple like just the meal you're eating and be like, oh yeah, I have to do savoring. Let me try that piece of chocolate again. Let me have that piece of chocolate and really enjoy it. And you know, when you're savoring something, I want you to get in it, you know, like, this is the best piece of chocolate I've ever had. And make the yummy sounds and make the compliments. For me, I enjoy, you know, just the idea of having a moment to myself, taking a hot shower, enjoying how the water feels and just savoring it. And I'll say, yes, I love my hot shower. But you know, what's amazing is just by making that happy gesture, enjoying that moment, the endorphins flood your brain and you just for a second feel happier and you can't help but laugh at yourself and smile. And you can do this in any way. You can do this by watching someone smiling, like I said, enjoying food, thinking back on a memory. I want you to really try this. Of all the activities, this one's easy. We can do it in any moment at any time. Okay? So that was habit 4, savoring the good. All right, moving on to the 5th. And this one I struggled with. I kept thinking, do I want to put this in because of what happened with COVID? But this is why I want to put this in, because of COVID, because of the hard year. Connection is the habit that I need you to pay attention to. Now, we all know the basics of health, right? Eat your veggies, go to the gym, rest, sleep, you know, all those things. But you know what we don't know is social connection is just as important. Social connection improves physical health and psychological well-being. Here's some research facts. Social connection strengthens our immune system. Okay? There's research by Steve Cole that shows that it improves immune function and even inflammation. It helps people recover from disease faster, even lengthens our lives. People who feel more connected to others have lower rates of anxiety and depression. People who are connected also show that they have high self-esteem and are more empathetic. Now, sadly, the opposite is true for those who lack social connection. Low social connection has been generally associated with declines in physical and psychological health. So we need to connect. Now, here's the cool thing. If you're like me, I'm a little introverted, okay? Guess what? Has nothing to do with that. The most interesting fact about connection, it has nothing to do with the number of friends you have, live or on social media. If you're a loner or an introvert, again, like me, you can still get the benefits. Guess what it is? It's the sense of connection. It's internal. Researchers agree that the benefits of connection are actually linked to a subjective connection. In other words, if you feel connected to others on the inside, you still get the benefits. So you don't have to have someone next to you. You don't have to be in a room full of people laughing. You just have to feel connected. Sometimes it's one best friend. Sometimes it's to a group like, hey, I feel so connected to the people who are doing the marathon. It's a subjective experience. You know, marathoners, they're running it alone, but they have this sense of connection to everyone around them because they're all running it. Does that make sense? Okay. Because I don't want you to think that, oh gosh, how am I supposed to do that during a pandemic? I can't go make friends. No, it's this idea of feeling connected. Like attracts like, you know, maybe just doing something and feeling connected to other people who do the same thing as you, or that connection to your child, or that connection to one friend, or even sometimes a past connection that makes you think about it. Some ways to strengthen and build connections. This is because we need it, okay? Right now we're all feeling disconnected and we need to reconnect. So some ways to strengthen is, let's make a list of people we want to connect with regularly. You know what? Add a reminder to your calendar to connect with them regularly. That's very important. So make that list of people that you want to contact and connect with. Another one is commit to a certain amount of time together with someone every day. Without pagers, without iPods, without distractions. Can be on Zoom, can be on FaceTime, whatever it may be. Another way to connect is listen. We talk too much. We need to listen and repeat back what we've heard so people here feel understood. Then they can connect with you. Another way to do it is show how much you respect and appreciate your friends and family. Show them that you're grateful for them. You can think positive thoughts about people, but if you don't share them, it doesn't go anywhere. We have to start sharing what we think of people, especially when it's wonderful. Now I'm encouraging you, for those of us who've lost connections or maybe need to make new ones, enroll in a new course or group, volunteer, reach out, find a way to connect, find your own way. Sometimes people just join a cause or even start one, and then they feel connected. This is so vital, especially with all that's happening. So many of us are isolated, but we can still connect and we can still feel connected. I really want you to try. Okay, so to go over it, we had 5 ways to increase happiness, right? Do you remember what they were? Gratitude, be grateful. Optimism, try to be positive. Okay, self-compassion. So important. Have compassion for yourself. Savor a moment and connect. This is huge. Now, if you try some of these things, I promise things will get better. I promise you will start to feel better, even for just a moment. If you like all of this, I do have groups and I do write programs, self-help programs, and you can always check them out at my website at drannierohr.com. And there are programs and all kinds of information, and this is kind of an abridged version of some of the things I teach. All right, so again, this is Dr. Annie Rohr, and here I am, just trying to help you be the best version of yourself. Luckily, working with the wonderful people at Cloudwell Health, and I'm going to remind you of them again, because they're amazing and we need every resource we can. Okay, so Cloudwell Health is Hawaii's first telemedicine practice. They make it so you can call them when you need them for mental health issues, regular health issues, and speak with a board certified doctor at a time that works for you. I've used the service, my family has used the service, and it's wonderful. I'm so proud to work with these people. Please visit cloudwellhealth.com. I truly hope you enjoyed this recording. I am learning along with you. So be well.